Okay, so this was I had an idea yesterday to give a talk last day. It was kind of immediate. I mean, just came like that, and it's not too well prepared. well, it's here. Yeah. So this page is just for reminder of things, and so anyhow, what do I want to talk about? So I want to go back to some problems, going back to let's say mid 90s, where people introduced the notion of duality. In particular, type 2A and M theory. So we have type 2A, dual to M theory on a circle. And I want to extend this thing to some backgrounds which are up to now were not so well understood, so it will increase our knowledge of the duality. Why do I do that? So I'm going to introduce Ramon fluxes, and this is something that we do not understand, at least for the particular set of backgrounds that I'll show. We don't know how to find the M-theory dual, so it will be nice to have to extend our pile of examples of duality. How can I treat backgrounds with Ramonian fluxes? We know very well that looking at strings propagating in backgrounds of Ramonian fluxes are too hard to analyze, and I'd like to propose a different view in terms of dibranes. So instead of looking at strings on our fluxes, I'm going to put dibranes, and it turns out that by doing that I can extract more information about this background, and using this I'm going to be able to say what's the M-theory dual. Now in fact it turns out that I'm going to use results that were computed before. Okay, so that, in a sense no new computations. But instead, it's a new interpretation. Okay. So I'm going to use computations which were done before in the context of, there's been a lot of activity on 2 plus 1 dimensional Chern-Simons theories. And two brains. Some of you have heard the talk on brain tilings. So I'm going to use results from this setup in order to get to my goal of what is the M-theory dual of type 2A with certain background. So let's present the problem. And that's going to be the problem of today. I'm going to take a type 2A on R 1,3 times Calabi R3. Okay. And this Calabi R3 is going to be a singular toric non-compact. Okay, and as being singular, it has a collection of vanishing cycles. And there will be two cycles and four cycles. Okay? And I have two types of Ramon-Ramon fields. I have the one form and I have the three form. There is a corresponding field strength which we will call G4, and the corresponding field strength we will call G2. And I can turn on fluxes on these on each of these cycles. So I need to count how many different two cycles I have for a given Calabi-Yau, how many four cycles I have, and on each of them I can turn on a flux. And my generic question is, how does this background look in M theory? Okay? Doing string theory on such a background is too hard. I don't know how to solve that. But it turns out that I can use the physics on the D-brain in order to figure out what's going on. Okay?
If we resolve the singularity, we know how to do the M-theory lift with resolution, right?
M-theory on the resolution. But what kind of...
If we do 2A on the resolution, then we know what the M-theory lift of that is.
And the flux is going to back react and resolve the cycles anyway, because we thread flux through a two-cycle.
There are among cycles, not fluxes, not Nevers flux.
Sure, so what?
So what's the M-theory lift? Okay. So now let's discuss this in more detail, because I heard here a relevant comment, the G2 manifold. So let's see what's going on. Let's discuss the supersymmetry, and then we'll go back to what you're saying. Okay. So Calabi-Yau 3. Brings down the supersymmetry to 8 supercharges, and if I turn on the flux, it will go down to 4 generically. Okay, and I want to know what is the M theory lift of that. Right now, there are two backgrounds in M theory with four supercharges. Okay, one is G2. So let me denote it like that. Okay, this is what Rajesh mentioned. But there's another one. Oh, and then so the background is going to be generically R1,3 times a G2 manifold. Or I can take R1,2 times a Calabi-Yau 4. Okay, so I lose Poincaré invariance in something that I seem to have when I start with this background. I just need to choose how the flux is supersymmetrized in order to, when I lift to M theory.
Now, those are weak fluxes. Without fluxes, those are 8 supersymmetric.
No, they have four. Both of them have four. Okay. Now, the so there has been, in fact, a lot of discussion. Early 2000s, there has been a lot of work on backgrounds with the G2, compact G2, non-compact G2. And the remaining space was R13, and the reason for that is obvious. We want to study some backgrounds with n equal 1 supersymmetry, where the manifold is compact, and try to get some information about that. Except that G2 manifolds are quite difficult. They are not complex. We have much more control on complex manifolds. The price that we pay is that we lose Poincaré invariance. We can only have R1,2 as the remaining Poincaré invariance. And that's perhaps the reason it was not discussed so much. So now I want to put attention to turning on fluxes on the Calabi-Yau 3 such that I lose Poincaré invariance in one direction. Somehow the fluxes will interact with one of these coordinates, and such that when I lift it, I'll get an M-theory background with Calabi-L4, right? So the question that I want to pose is that given Calabi-L3 with fluxes, what is the Calabi-L4? Okay? This is the formulation of the problem. Any questions on this?
So you're going to put a leg of the flux in R4 to break Poincaré invariants?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you going to?
And I'll show you how to do that using HTV language.
Okay. Are you going to have any six-form
tensors? I'm going to take it to be non-compact. So I'm not going to deal with that. That's an interesting question.
Why isn't the answer just a circle bundle over the 2A geometry?
The answer is going to be a Calabi-L3 bundle over a complex line. But let's
put some of the fluxes in R4, which he hasn't told you about yet.
We still know how to lift. Yeah. I mean, we know how to lift things down there, don't we?
I don't know. You'll tell me. I'll give you an example, and you tell me how to lift it. So let's take the first example.
Sorry? So you know how a flux in M3 goes down to whatever flux you would like to have in the lower dimension, so what's the secret of what you're saying?
Okay, let's take a simple example. Let's take the conifold. Okay, it has a vanishing P1. Okay, and correspondingly, I can turn on a K flux. That will be a two-form flux, a monomon flux. Now I'm going to ask you, what is the, so take the M theory lift. What's going to be the resulting geometry? Do you know how to compute it?
It's a circle bundle with Euler class given by that two-form flux.
Very good. So I'll give you another answer. I don't know how to see that. The answer is going to be just that. I think it's much simpler than what you said.
How can that be unless you tell us how you broke Poincaré invariants?
Okay,
you really just put two-form flux through the P1. You didn't break Poincaré invariants, and the M3 lift is not going to break Poincaré invariants.
That's right. So I'm going to do that such that I keep the supersymmetry for supercharges and maintain 2 plus 1. So let me explain how do I do that. So let's first start with the absence of flux, right? So in the absence of flux, I can take a D2 brain and put on this geometry. And the answer is known. There is a quiver gauge theory. Looks like that. There are two gauge groups. Call these fields AI BJ, and then there is a superpotential AI BJ, AI prime, BJ prime, with epsilon II prime and epsilon JJ prime. Okay, so this is well known, and if I look only at the part where, so the presence of this D-brain is going to break R2, 1 to R times Calabi-L3, so times the conifold. And then when I lift to M theory, there'll be an S1, and this R and S1 will combine to a complex direction, such that together, I mean, since there are no fluxes, nothing is going to happen. And the Calabi-L4 is just going to be conifold and C. Up to now, we're okay?
By times, you mean and not maybe the line bundle?
It's just a simple product. Right? The complex line is just a simple product with the conifold.
If you have a two-form flux, the circle is non-trivially fibered over the base.
Yeah, so that's going to be the next type of discussion. So in the absence of fluxes, we are just going to get conifold times C. Okay? Now, what happens when we do have a flux? Right. So the first thing to realize is that there is a Chern-Simons level which is imposed on those gauge groups. Right. So we're starting over here, we did not have any Chern-Simons levels. And the first effect of turning on the flux is to put a Chern-Simons level on those things. So how does it go? Let's talk about fractional brains. As what Aaron told us about. And fractional brains can be of two types. There is a basis, there is a D2 brain on a point, and a D4 brain on the P1. Okay? And those two nodes over here are going to be bound states of four brains and two brains in the usual way. So here I'm recalling stuff from late 90s. Okay? And by symmetry, since the total charge of is D2, I'll have one node will be a bound state of D2 and D4, and the other one will be D2 and anti-D4. Okay? Good. So let's see what happens on the D4. On the well volume of the D4, we'll have the usual interaction. How did I call the one for C1? So I have an interaction C1 wedge F on the D4. And by integration by parts, I can say that this is the integral of G2 wedge some Chern-Simons form. Okay, on the D4, such that if I have a flux, a G2 flux on the P1, if the D4 wraps the P1, then this gives rise to a Chern-Simons level K. Okay? Very good, but because the one node is a four brain that wraps the P1, and the other one is a four brain that wraps the P1 in opposite direction, the Chern-Simons level will have opposite sign, so I'll have K and minus K. Okay, so that's the first thing that we can conclude. Okay, any questions about that? Well, these are the Chern-Simons level. Remember that I have another integer, and that's the number of brains. I can put as many brains as I want, as many D brains as I want. The only thing it will do is to, assuming that I'm only taking D2 brains, the rank will be N in both. Okay? Now, since we are in type 2A still, there is going to be a gauge coupling. That's going to be part of the action, and that's going to be K Chern-Simons level for the first, minus K Chern-Simons level for the second, and so on, plus other terms. Any questions? Now, the thing about this is that it appears in a super multiplet, right? So let's expand on this thing and let's write down all possible Chern-Simons all possible terms. So there'll be ADA, there'll be an A cube term, there'll be so the vector multiplet contains fermions, so I'll have chi bar chi term. And the most important that thing that I want to talk about is this, D times sigma. Sigma is going to be the super partner of the vector multiplet in 2 plus 1 dimensions. It's a real scalar. And D is the auxiliary field, the D term, that is sitting in the vector multiplet. And this is the crucial point over here. Right? So that's the way I preserve supersymmetry. I have four supercharges, and that's why I lose Poincaré invariance, because the presence of the Chern-Simons term couples to the sigma field, and the sigma field has the interpretation of the position of the fractional d-brain along this extra direction that we have. Right? So that's crucial, sigma, position of D2, of fractional D2 brain on this extra direction that we call R. Okay? That's why I lose Poincaré invariants. And now I can talk about what happens in M theory. Do you have any questions about that? Okay, so let's write down the D-term equations for this system. Okay, so it's quite easy. We know we're very familiar with the conifold gauge theory, and we will write that there will be A1 squared plus A2 squared minus B1 squared minus B2 squared. And a crucial thing, because of the coupling to the D term, I'm going to have a coupling of the form K times sigma. Okay? I'm going to turn on a Philopoulos term, which is proportional to the Chern-Simons level, or to the flux, the Ramon-Ramon flux, and also is proportional to where I sit, where the fractional d-brain sits in this extra direction. Okay? So if I sit at the origin, if sigma is equal to zero, then this is the equation for the conifold where the cycle is shrinking. But if I move away, the cycle goes up. And it doesn't matter if I go to the positive sign or negative sign of sigma, still I have a kind of a vibration. Okay? So that's a vibration of the conifold, or the Calabi-Yau 3 in general, over the complex line, which is parameterized by sigma and by this circle. Coordinate on the circle, the extra M theory circle. Okay? Any questions? Very good. Now I'm done because we've seen this gauge theory before. Okay? What happens as I go to M theory? This term goes away. The gauge field loses its kinetic term, and I'm left only with the Chern-Simons coupling. The theory flows to conformal field theory. I have a conformal field theory in the infrared, and this theory is otherwise known as the ABJM theory. Okay? What's the moduli space? The moduli space is C4. If I have k units of flux, there is a zk, and the zk is determined by the action of the gauge group on the different fields. Okay? So now I'm done with the computation. Okay? I started with Calabi-Yau 3, I turned on flux, I insisted that number of supercharges will remain 4, I give up on Poincaré invariants in this third space direction, and I find that the resulting moduli space is C4 mod ZK. So flux, the Ramon-Ramon flux in type 2A becomes just pure geometry in M theory. That's not a surprise, right?
No, but my surprise is,
are you sure
that this is not
a...
I don't know.
Your precise statement is if there are ND2s transverse to a conifold with K units of flux, the M theory lift is NM2s transverse to C4 mod ZK.
That's right. Yes, and this is true for any N. And therefore, I can take in particular n equals 0.
Well, in the n equals 0 case, the symmetries of the two sides don't match, so it's hard to believe they're dual.
Nothing changes. I don't see anything which changes.
In the n equals 0 case, the type 2a side has Poincaré invariants, and the m-theory side does not.
Yeah, but I have to specify which precise supersymmetry is preserved. Right? So if indeed I don't keep the supersymmetry to be Calabi L4, but instead a G2, then you'll get Poincaré invariance. But if I insist that it would be... So I just need to determine in what supersymmetry I turn on this flux. And
the G2 comes when you wrap D6 brains on that conifold and then take the M-theory lift.
Yeah.
So that's... Yeah. So yeah, that preserves the set of supersymmetry.
Six brains on three cycles, but here I have a different problem, right?
No, six brains on, yeah.
On three cycles, right? I mean, because I want to keep 3+1.
I mean, the M-theory lifted just the conifold with flux with no D brains. We know unambiguously, right? And it's a G2 manifold. Even with no six brains.
No, it depends on what supersymmetry you preserve.
Flux, yeah.
Well, the flux is through the
P1. Yeah, if you don't have any G2 brains, I would think it is the G2.
It's the G2 manifold, where the field strength becomes this KK gauge field. It's not the breakpoint.
Stupid question. How does the ZK act?
So the ZK acts the way it is over here. If you parameterize the coordinates of C4 as A1, A2, B1, and B2, ZK acts with 1, 1, minus 1, minus 1.
What's the resolution of that? What's the Carpenter resolution of that singularity?
I can tell you the toric diagram.
Tell me what it is.
I don't know. There is a tetrahedron of height, so these are on one base, and this is of height k. So now you want to see how many four cycles, and I don't think there is any four cycles.
What's the resolution? What's the cycle to get to?
I think there's just a P3 which remains, and that's it.
So this is just the usual circle bundle over P3?
Yeah.
For k equals 2, that's not minus 1 on all four coordinates?
The typical way, you see, because this has accidental supersymmetry of n equals 6, you could always replace the b's, b1 and b2, by b1 star. And B2 star. By this, you choose a different complex structure, and then AB, A1, A2, B1, and B2 all have charge 1. And so, in this coordinate system, you could talk about a ZK action that preserves a C4. Okay. but it's not. And then, if you want to, for the particular case, k equals to 2, then in fact you'll even have SO8 symmetry because it acts equally on all 8 real scalars.
Minus 1, right?
Yeah.
Right, so that's
true. So it will be R8. So for k equals to 2, k equals 1, this is R8, and k equals to 2. This is R8 mod Z2, where it acts as minus 1 on all coordinates.
So is it possible, I mean, M-theory has dualities within it.
Yeah.
So is it possible that, I mean, you guys are getting different answers, but maybe they're...
I think this might be a circle, like a line bundle over the conifolds.
But Shamit said one has Poincaré invariance, the other doesn't.
I mean, it really depends on the way. So you could turn on the flux, but you have also to decide what to do. If you just turn on the flux, then you keep R31 Poincaré invariance. If you add extra action coordinate, then at best you keep R2,1.
Yes, if you add any D2 brains,
I can only tell you this on the world volume of the brain. That's the reason Shamit is complaining about zero, the zero case. Now, it is I'm willing to say, okay, at least one brain.
Why do you think that the n equal to zero case is the same? I mean, the Chan-Simons theory is clearly, the rank of the Chan-Simons speech group is n, right? So when n is zero, I mean, you don't have any.
Okay, fine. They remove the n equals zero from the statement, and then. Does this satisfy your concern?
Sure, but I'm still kind of sure from somewhere I need this discussion before.
Oh, that would be a good.
Let's go back to the questions. I think we have been concerned before, but I've looked for which reference layers, but I think this.
And how the computations are held? I mean, what is. Okay, so what I'd like to say is that using this gauge theory analysis, now I have a way to compute it for infinitely many examples. This was in the simplest case, but what I can do now is to start doing this on all Calabi-Yau 3s. I have many gauge theories that I can compute. Give me the Calabi-Yau 3, I'll tell you what's the gauge theory. I can write down the D-term equations, and that's the key point, right? I know how to solve the D-term equations, and I can get the precise Calabi-Yau 4. Okay?
Tell me, where is the M-theory circle in this geometry?
In fact, from here, this is just so. If you're looking at it from the perspective of the D2 brain, then it is just the usual thing. I mean, this is proportional to G string, and the M theory circle is the usual circle associated to this string. Now. When you look at this model by itself, you could take the large K limit, okay, the large flux limit, and then the ZK action becomes denser and denser, and it acts as a circle shrinking the size of a circle, and that circle would be the phase that you give.
Then you get back what you started
with. And then you will not get to what you started with. You'll get to a type 2A background on P3.
So what is the circle that gets me back to where I started with?
Over here, it's going to be the one which is dual to the gauge field, right? So there is a sigma field over here, which is the... okay, so every gauge field, there are two gauge fields over here, A1 and A2.
I'm just funny, geometry question. I mean, you said M theory on this geometry is the same as 2A on this geometry. I mean,
so there is a C-star action. There is a C-star action on the A's and the B's. So that would be the circle. And if you are asking in terms of the gauge theory, then there are two gauge fields, and there is a sum of gauge fields, and that is dualized to a scalar. And if you combine it with a single sigma field, it gives you a complex parameter.
So it's rotating all the A's and B's with the same phase?
Yeah. Well, this particular, so A1, A2, B1 star, B2 star, with the same phase, A's and B's.
That's not the ZK, that's not the one that gives you the ZK?
That's
the one that gets you back to the column fold.
So giving back to the conifold, so that's the same, it's the one associated with the gauge field. Yeah, I would say it's the same.
That's right. And then didn't you just say that one got us back to CP3?
Yes, but there is a gauge coupling involved. So that's the dual You're asking in terms of the geometry. You have to pick a particular, you see, it really depends on which coordinate system you work, right? So if you work on this coordinate system, A1, A2, B1 star, B2 star, you get a CP3. If you get with A1, A2, B1, B2, you get the conifold. It's because of the symmetry enhancement that it looks confusing. So, okay. When you divide two A's and two B's by 1 minus 1, you get a conifold. When you divide the two A's and the two B stars by 1, you get CP3. Any other questions? So let's see what else can I do.
So F theory lift actually.
If you
you view this the fourfold you got as fibered and now go to type 2B.
I have a type 2B description in terms of PQ webs. That's in fact an interesting comment. But I don't have an F-theory picture for that. I don't see 7 brains. But it might.
It could just have O3, but I mean...
Oh.
I mean, you have an obvious...
So I could ask the question, what happens when I T-dualize on this extra direction? This R direction that we had. What happens if I T-dualize? Then T-duality on R. Takes, so if there were no fluxes, it would take the conifold to intersecting the Weierstrass 5 brains. To form like that, there's a Weierstrass 5 brain and another Weierstrass 5 brain. If you want, they can be in a circle. It's not the best drawing. Like this. Sorry for my bad drawing. That would be a type 2B picture. If you have k units of flux, then you could ask what's the T-dual, and then it turns out that one of these Weierstrass 5 brains is becoming a K1. Five brain with the k units of D. Okay, and again, the way I know how to do that is because I know how to compute the gauge theorem for this, and so that's a nice statement about T-duality. So T-duality of PQ five brains gets transformed into this particular case geometry with fluxes. Okay, the next example. How much time do we have? Okay. Next example is C2 mod Z2 MC. Okay. And again, I can write down the, I can repeat the story. I can write down the gauge theory. Again, it's like a quiver to a joint. One joint over here. And again, I will have that the nodes are fractional brains. So this one will be D2 and d4. This one will be d2, d4 bar. So again, I will have flux k and minus k, and I can compute what kind of moduli space I get. And for this case, we know that the moduli space is conifold times C, times the complex line. Right? So this part of the complex line remains the same. The C2 mod Z2 becomes a conifold. This is for one unit of flux. And if there are k units of flux, I'll get a certain orbifold modded out by zk, where the zk action is acting on the coordinates in a particular way that I can compute using the gauge theory. But it's not so illuminating to do that. I don't remember of this offhand. I have to compute it and show what it is. In fact, it's easy to compute when the unit of flux is 1. Then there is no orbifold. And if the unit of flux is higher, there is a certain orbifold action. You have to compute what particular orbifold action it is. OK? Any questions? One thing that confuses me, and I don't know the answer to this, is when I start turning on four-form fluxes. So the next example is C3 mod Z3. I take the Calabi L3 to be C3 mod Z3. It has one vanishing four cycle and one vanishing two cycle. And therefore, I can turn on two types of fluxes, K2 and K4. And I want to know how does this translate to Chern-Simons levels on the gauge theory. Right? So the gauge theory, we know, in the absence of fluxes, it's just the quiver that we saw many times before. Three gauge groups with nine fields and a superpotential, which looks like epsilon ijk ai bj ck. Well, these are A, B, and C. Okay. But now the interesting thing is, how do I turn on Chern-Simons levels? So in order to understand that, I need to understand what bound state of fractional brains does each node carry, right? What kind of bound state this is. So that's a computation to make, and this is a computation which was done at around, I guess, late 90s or maybe early 2000s. And I can just take the result from there. So as I said, I don't do any new computation. I just have a new interpretation. The Chern-Simons levels turn out to be, let me write it over here on the quiver. One of them gets K4. The other one, K4 minus K2. And the last one gets K2. Minus 2k4. You see that the sum of Chern-Simons levels is 0, and individually, right? So there's no net two cycle flux, and there's no net four cycle flux. And now I can just plug this into the D-term and F-term equations of the particular gauge theory, and I can solve for what it is. And if I restrict to the case that the Chern-Simons levels are 1, 1, minus 2, So if Shinsan's levels are 1, 1, minus 2, then the Calabi L4 is the cone over M111. Okay? And M111 is by itself, it's a circle bundle over P1 cos P2. Okay? So now the thing which is not clear to me in this is what happened to the fourth flux. So the computation that I know how to do is to write down the D terms and write down the F terms and to look for solutions of them. And I can say that the solution is just this. But it is not clear to me whether the M111 has an additional four-form flux. Does the four-form flux become geometry, or does it remain as a flux? So I have M111, and I'm not sure whether it remains a flux. Because two-form flux, we know from various considerations that it should turn into geometry. That's the general expectation, and I guess that was what you were saying before, that any two-form flux will somehow turn into a geometry. What this computation shows is just how to translate it to the precise geometry that we find. With four-form flux, it is known to lift to a four-form flux again. And I think that you were saying that before. I mean, four-form flux should lift to four-form flux. Somehow, it does enter into the equations, and I'm still confused about this point. So this is an open problem, at least for me. I don't know if anyone understands this better.
Are there compact four cycles in this Calabi level?
There is the P2, right? So, and you could argue that the Calabi L4 still has a four-form flux kernel. So somehow this four-form flux lifts the C3 mod Z3 into the cone over M111, and in addition keeps the four-form flux on that, or it's gone. I don't know. I mean, the gauge theory computation doesn't tell me which one is correct. Okay, and I can repeat this thing to pick your favorite Calabi L3 singularity, and you can repeat these computations. The moduli space computations are relatively simple, and you could get a series of infinitely many results. So, that's okay. So, you see, when we deal with compact manifolds, a gauge theory description is no longer good. It breaks down at some point, right? Because gauge theory is like non-compact spaces, right? To the D-term equations, you could always rescale those D-term equations, even rescale sigma, by anything, and that will always be non-compact. Right. So whenever I have a gauge theory description, it gives me a non-compact description. So it's a local description of what happens. If I have a compact manifold, a gauge theory description will be good at some neighborhood, but then at some point it's going to break down. And that's, so we'll have to impose some kind of compactness if we have control over the global feature, but in general it's a difficult problem. But perhaps if we know what happens at certain corners, we might get better understanding. So my hope is that these types of computations will allow how to get the picture for compact spaces, but I don't have a good idea at this point of how to do that. This type of computation certainly extend what we know. As you told me that there may have been some computations of this type before. I'll be happy to see that and to compare which one is faster. But so. Okay, I mean, it's always good to have a different way of computing, so that we'll have, I mean, sometimes different computations lead to different perspectives. So,
just a related question. There was a paper by Aganovich maybe last week or earlier this week.
I was hoping nobody will ask me about that, but you're forcing me to.
Very similar. Is it the same thing? Is it related?
These ideas came in discussions with her after I gave a talk in Berkeley.
Ah.
So I was hoping we'll publish a paper together, but she decided.
I've seen at least one revision with a new author, so.
You've seen such. What can I do? Yeah.
Circle bundle over P1 cross P2. Do you know what? Can you say what its first term class is?
Sorry.
If you see what first term class, I just want to get a feel for this geometry.
For this one, so you want to see? You want to think of it as a. Line bundle over.
You're saying that this M111 is a circle bundle with P1. I'm just wondering which one it is, if you know off the top of your head. If you don't worry about it.
No, I don't, but I know where to look. Let me see if I don't.
Because, I mean, if we already have an existing way to go from a 2A geometry to an M3 geometry, and you've given us a new way, mm-hmm. you should give us the same answer, right?
Provided you keep, I mean, there has to be this way of how do you turn on the flux, right? And how do you supersymmetrize the flux? And the only way I understand it is through the gauge theory analysis. So I have to say, okay, at least one brain should be there. But I have the feeling that even with zero D brains, it will be like that. I don't know how to formulate it.
I mean, we know how to formulate 2A with flux, right?
But then you'll get a G2. That's all the computations which were done so far, right? I mean, because they were, I mean, I think that there are two different ways of supersymmetrizing the flux. One which preserves R1,3 and the other one which does not, which preserves R1,2. Okay. You have to check that. I think I'm done with what I wanted to say, so thank you for the attention.